Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody.
I'm Heather.
We are glad to be back with you again this week for another doozy of an episode. I want to start off by saying I know that you have heard the ad breaks in our episodes, and I want to explain. We like making money, right? It's cool. We have the opportunity now to make money off of this podcast thanks to ad revenue, and we couldn't have done that without you guys.
Yeah,
now,
big thanks.
I know that the ads can be annoying because they break in the middle of conversations and things like that. So what I'm thinking is when we get a little bit further down into this, we're going to start a Patreon. And for a donation a month, whatever that ends up being, we'll talk about it. You'll get all the episodes ad-free. On that
Patreon
channel or whatever. Yeah. So we'll probably do that in the future, just to kind of see. I want to see what the reaction is for this podcast first.
Okay.
Now with us being back in season two, things like that, I want to see how our listener count grows. And if it does, then yeah, that's something we'll definitely look at, offering ad-free episodes. But for now, thank you for listening to the ads. They do, you know, put some back into our pocket.
A little bit of passive, income.
Yeah, and it makes it where doing this is worth more than just, you know, putting our voices out there and making us heard. It's a little bit of a reward for us, and we really appreciate it. So yeah,
thank you big time.
Now that out of the way, let's get into our mental health check-in. Baby doll, how's your head?
It's pretty good.
Yeah
I mean, still have some blah days because of some things that have recently happened, but I'm still sunshine and sparkle and enjoying myself. So yeah, it's been, I mean, it's not too bad.
Good.
Nothing to complain about.
Good.
Yeah. What about you?
So mine for the past 2 days has been weird. And it's thanks to the political climate in the United States. We're not going to get into it on here, but it's been kind of, an anxiety type of a feeling. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, I don't think any of us are sure what the future is going to hold. And right now the future looks pretty scary for everybody.
It's been looking scary, but it's definitely capped.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all kind of wondering where we go from here. How do we continue as a society? And I think that, you know, however that looks is going to be very interesting. And I'm hoping it's not very bleak, like it could turn out to be. So, but like I said, not getting into that here. But yeah, a little bit of anxiety from that. But the depression hadn't been really an issue. Was for a couple of days, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It went away pretty easily. So really liking that, being on the correct dose of medication. Mm-hmm. Really liking being able to hit the gym a lot more. Last month, I did 450,000 pounds of volume in a month. So that was pretty awesome. This month, I'm shooting for 500,000. So we'll see.
What?
Fingers crossed. So, all right. What are we going to talk about today?
So, again, we're tying in the book, The Ethical Slut.
Right.
We are going to talk about fighting and arguing in relationships, healthy versus unhealthy. I want everybody to know that loud noise was not Heather. It was Cody.
It was me.
Everybody give him crap for it.
Listen, my sweats are slippery, and I put my phone on them, and my phone
went. I'm slippery, so figure it out.
Giggity. So you said healthy versus unhealthy.
Correct.
In relation to fighting. Now, a lot of people listening are going to hear that and think that's not a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Conflict is normal. You know, conflict is going to happen.
Conflict by itself isn't a red flag.
Right.
It's how you handle it.
Exactly.
That
you got to keep in mind, and we touched on this a little bit, I think two episodes ago, where we are individuals, right? Mm-hmm. I am more than just your husband. I am me.
Yeah.
You are more than just my wife. You are you, right?
Yeah.
So two individuals being together and having to go through life together, you know, because of choice, but taking on life together with two different viewpoints, you're going to have conflict. Mm-hmm. If you don't, that to me is a sign of trouble, right? Because that means somebody is giving up what they want. They're giving mm-hmm. up their viewpoint in order to appease somebody else just so there is no conflict. Yeah. And you can't
be healthy either.
Yeah. Yep. So what is some examples of unhealthy?
Okay. So again, I mentioned that we're tying in The Ethical Slut.
Right.
Kind of like the lifestyle Bible, as close as we can get anyway, manual, if you will. The authors, Easton and Hardy, remind us that conflict is natural, even in loving, well-communicated ethical non-monogamy relationships. The breakdown of the episode, just kind of to summarize it, is that boundaries are non-negotiable. We can't avoid fights when one person feels like the lines have been blurred or crossed.
Yeah.
Conflict equals information. You know, arguments shine light on unmet needs or unspoken agreements.
Right.
And repair is more valuable than quote unquote winning, especially in E&M. Just a reminder, that's ethical non-monogamy. It will probably be in E&M for the rest of this video, this podcast. Mm-hmm. But especially in E&M, because unresolved tension with one partner can leak into your whole polycule. It really stresses that avoiding conflict is worse than engaging in it. Repressed resentment kills intimacy faster than a heated argument. And that one just kind of, it spoke to me, you know, like it makes you stay in like, ugh, because of course we're husband and wife. We've been at this for 14 years.
Yeah.
We still have fights. There's still going to be things that happen.
Let's define that real quick, you know, because fight can look very different to a lot of people. I don't think that you and I have fights, right? We don't really have fights.
Correct.
We have disagreements. Mm-hmm. We have conflicts, right? But we don't have fights.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, we do get heated. We do get passionate. We do get loud sometimes. It's never something where one of us is intentionally trying to hurt the other. And to me, that is what a fight is, right? If I'm in a fight with somebody, I'm going to hurt them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to call it a fight is a little bit unhealthy in my opinion, right? We have conflict, and that's healthy mm-hmm. because, like I mentioned, we are two individuals.
Yep.
Now, if you are having fights in your relationship, I would think about, one, talking to your partner and saying, hey, what's going on? Why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't resolve it there, talk with the counselor.
Well, wait, like, we also need to step for a second. And yes, you do need to tell your partner, but your partner needs to be able to actively listen to you and not listen from a point of defense.
Right. And if you come in the middle of a fight, then they are going to be listening from a point of defense. Right. And that's one thing I've noticed with conflicts that we have. I've been trying to look at those in more of like an analytical way.
Okay.
And whenever we do have them, mm-hmm. and I have realized that I immediately go to a place of defense, right? Even though you're not coming at me with necessarily like accusations or something to hurt me,
mm-hmm.
I immediately go into, okay, how can I defend myself from this? How can I just kind of push this off? And that's not good, right? I don't need to do that. So what you and I have found is that we bring up the topic, we might talk about it for a second, and then we need to give each other space, right?
Yep.
And sometimes we're great at that, sometimes we're not, but we do. And one thing that we've found is that we always, at the end of the day, will come together, whatever happened during that day, we'll come together, we'll talk about it, and then we will end up moving forward with some sort of solution before we end up going to bed.
Well, yeah, we don't go to bed angry. It might not be found a solution, but it's like putting a pin in it so that we can come back after we've like calmed down, after we've had time to cool off from one another, where we could actively listen to what the other person was saying and kind of have that time to go through your head about it.
Yeah. So that point of defense, though, you're not thinking clearly in there, right? Whenever you're in defense mode, you're just thinking about how you can stop what's coming at you, right? Now, no one likes conflict. No one enjoys conflict. If you enjoy conflict, you might want to get your head checked out, right?
Yeah.
So no one likes that. So we all go to that place of defense whenever we are in a conflict because we want it to end. So,
well, and we don't want to keep hurting like our loved ones.
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
But, you know, one thing you have to realize is that you have to give yourself time to come out of that, or a mechanism to come out of that, in order to have a healthy conversation rather than simply just a confrontation. You mentioned that repair is more important than winning, and I think that holds true. And we'll talk about it more here in just a second. But in order for there to be repair, you have to have that healthy conversation. And I think that is,
It's important.
Yeah.
So going over this, how you've explained what conflict and disagreements and fights are kind of to you in your head and like how that works out, why do you think silence or avoidance is actually more damaging than having the argument or the disagreement?
Well, it's like we said, if you are silent or avoiding the conflict, then somebody is giving up something, mm-hmm. right? Giving up their viewpoint. They're giving up something they believe in. They're giving up something that they want. And
it creates distance.
Yeah. As individual people, we can't just appease our partner. Now, there does have to be compromise.
Sure. Right?
There will have to be compromise in any relationship. But we can't give up who we are in order to make our partner feel good, right? Our partner shouldn't want us to give up who we are in order for them to feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If they do, I'll take it. Anise Thrive. You know, like, totally look that song up, guys, because it's inspiring. Right now, as I'm saying it, I'm forgetting the lyrics in my head, but it totally goes with this. So, tie in, go to Spotify, Anise Thrive.
She's been in a big Anise kick lately.
I'm just in a chill vibe. I need the happy moods. But, so, in chapter 6 of The Ethical Slut, the authors emphasize that honesty and dialogue are essential to intimacy. Shutting down conversations, even uncomfortable ones, is definitely more corrosive than messy honesty.
Right.
Can you think of a time where we did have a disagreement or an argument or a fight where it started out as a fight, but then once we actually were able to talk through it, kind of laugh about it? Oops, I hit the microphone.
I mean, I can think of several, and I don't know if we want to get into them on here, but I mean, there was one the last time we went on a cruise. There was one that, you know, you and I got into a bit of a fight on the way back home. Mm-hmm. It actually got pretty heated whenever we got into the house, and we took some time apart from one another for the afternoon. Ended up coming together that evening and talking about it, and it was one of those deals. Why
did we get so upset?
Yeah, like, why are we getting so upset about this? You know what I mean? Why are we letting ourselves get to this point of anger and you know, sadness and all of this stuff whenever we could just talk about this and be fine?
So, venting versus debating versus destructive fighting.
Yeah.
Okay. What is venting to you?
Venting is just unloading your problems. You know, like I might come to you, say I'm having stuff at work, right? I know that you know a lot more than you think you do about my job just because you've been with me for 13 years while I've been doing it.
14.
You've been with me for 14. I've been doing this for 13.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. but you've been with me while I've been doing it. So you've heard me complain about this stuff. But I might come to you where you don't necessarily know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know, in that instance, I just need to get it out.
Yeah.
Right. Because sitting on stuff is unhealthy for you. You know, it makes me blow up. Right. If I just sit on this stuff, especially with some of these guys that I work with, if I just sit on this stuff, I'll end up throwing stuff at them. And I can't do that because I'll get fired. So,
yeah, we need that.
We all need a space where we can just kind of unload and get that off of our chest, right?
I like that we have it with each other. And then our core group of friends, we know that we can call on them too and just be like, I just need to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're involved at all, like, it's just info dumping. Like, this is what's in my head. This is what's happening.
It is important, though, and one thing that I've noticed with you is it's very important for me to say, I just need to vent.
Yes.
Or I don't want to fix.
I do go into fix it mode.
Yeah. Because, you know, I came to you, I think it was Tuesday on the way home or Wednesday. I can't remember. Whenever that big bad thing happened that has given me this anxiety. And I had said, I saw this video. It's kind of got me fucked up. I don't know what to think about it. And in that moment, what I needed was just to get it out, right? Mm-hmm. All I needed was just to kind of unload my thoughts. Instead of that, you presented me with an alternative way to think about what I was dealing with, and it actually helped a lot, but it wasn't what I needed at the time.
Sure.
Right? It was just in that exact moment, I was just needing to get what was in my head out of it, right? So it's important for me to say, if that's what I need, is, hey, I just need to unload for a second, just listen, and I'm good. I don't need a fix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's also important
it's also important to challenge each other and have those things. Well,
in those moments, I can go, hey, what do you think about this? Right.
Yeah.
And that goes to what you were going to talk about next is debating, mm-hmm. right? Debating is extremely healthy. Not only in, you know, your romantic relationships, husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, It's also very important in your friend circles, yep. in your political relationships, in your extended family relationships. It's all very, very important yeah. to be able to have a healthy debate about this stuff.
It's just, I mean, it brings different perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, again, and not, we're not winning. We're not fighting to win anything.
Right.
It, doing that's going to create scars more than it's going to, more than solutions.
Yeah. Now, I am very outspoken about my beliefs, especially like on TikTok, things like that. When I offer to debate people, I'm not debating them with the goal of winning anything, right? I'm offering to debate people with the goal of hopefully making them understand where I'm coming from.
Or you understanding something that or, you were yes, overlooking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I can understand where they're coming from. And I think right now we lack a lot of that. And I think that we need to get back to that. Because if you look at, and I know your eyes are about to glaze over, and that's totally fine. But if you look at Barack Obama debating John McCain, they both talk about how their opponent is a great person. They just might not see eye to eye on some things. But when they're debating, they're actually having a conversation with one another. And they're saying, here's what I think. Here's what I propose. What is your view? And then the other person talks. And we don't have that anymore. We have attacks. We have, mm-hmm. we all want to win, right? And that's...
Yeah, that's not just us. It's not just poly people or lifestyle people. I mean, yeah, it's everybody. Everyone.
And no one wins in that instance, you know. No so, one can win there.
Tying in a little bit with the book, chapter 7 is Honesty and Boundaries. The book frames conflict not as a failure, but as an opportunity to practice radical honesty. Fighting destructively also often means stepping outside ethical agreements, using power instead of care.
Yeah.
So we're going to beat it like a dead horse because it's so important to have these, to have those talks, to maybe not always have like the fights, but like engage in conversation where it helps you see.
I would say yes.
A different perspective.
But there are going to be people who can't have that conversation.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're with a partner where maybe that's not a possibility. And in that instance, you got to get help. Because if you're in a dynamic like that, and let's be honest, all of us have done that at some point, mm-hmm. right? We have all tried to cut to the quick in order to win a fight. We have all threatened punishment with something in order to win a fight. We have all felt hurt and decided to use something else to hurt back in order to quote-unquote win. And none of that is ethical. That's all very destructive, right?
Correct.
But it shouldn't be a constant thing. It should be a thing where you can talk to your partner and say, hey, this last argument we got into, this really made me uncomfortable. Can we talk about why you did this? And can I explain why I didn't like the way it made me feel?
And again, actively listening.
Because exactly.
even though we're just talking about like a made up scenario right now, like mm-hmm. the way you just said it, it's almost like I went defensive, even just, we're not even like talking. Cause I was right. like, wait a second, what are you going to say? Like, what's the next thing that's come out of your mouth? And then yeah. it wasn't. So we have to be able to do that as well.
Yeah.
Actively listen to one another.
Yeah.
Chapter 4 in the book is about contracts and agreements. Conflict is part of navigating these things. Humor and intimacy can reset the dynamic and keep fights from escalating. I mean, when it's too serious, I have to laugh.
Yeah.
I'm not the person you look at a funeral if something is said that is completely untrue about a person.
Mm-hmm.
If you snicker, I mean, there's going to be an ant to pop you in the back of your head.
Yeah.
You know? So, I have a question for our audience.
Okay.
And I've gotten some feedback from friends and stuff that are like, well, I want to know what this means, or what I want to be able to help you, but I don't understand, blah, blah, blah. So my questions for the audience is, have you ever laughed in the middle of a fight and realized the fight wasn't even about what you thought?
That's an interesting question. I'm not.
It makes you think a little bit, yeah. doesn't it?
Now, for me, I'm not the type to laugh in a fight. I mean, you know me. I typically get withdrawn. I typically kind of shut down. I might be loud for a second, and then I'm just going to go hide within myself, you know, basically sulk.
Pity party.
Yeah, pity party. And I know that's not a healthy thing to do, and I've been working on not being like that, but that's how I've always handled those, right? So I can't say that I've ever laughed in the middle of an argument, but I can think of times
where... Well, maybe I just ride the crazy train.
Well, no, but I can think of times where you have brought me out of that in the middle of a fight, and we have laughed about it, and it's been one of the... Another, again, like I said a while ago, why are we fighting? Why are we allowing ourselves to feel like this? And that has happened a bunch of times.
And again, fighting isn't... It doesn't make it unhealthy to fight. Right. It's how you fight, repair, and reconnect that determines the strength of the bond that you share.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really important to talk to your people.
Yeah. And we keep saying fight, you know, and that's what everybody calls it is, you know, yeah, it's a fight. I just want everybody to understand if you are actually fighting with your partner, with your lover, with whatever, you gotta do some building.
Press pause there. And figure it out. Yeah,
you have to do some
look inside yourself.
Yeah, some very serious talking. You've got to get some help because that's not good. Nobody deserves to be abused ever.
So I want your answer on this. It's also a viewer or a listener question. Makeup sex, healthy resolution or band-aid to your problem?
It depends on how it is. Or how it comes about, you know what I mean?
Okay.
To me, there have been times where you have thought that was all that I wanted. So you come to me and say, well, let's just do this, and that way you'll not be in a bad mood. That destroys me when you do that. Like, that's one of those things that I view as unhealthy. Because it's not me wanting that, right? It's you trying to solve the problem, because in your mind, you think that's what I want, that's what I need. I need that connection, but that's not what it's about. So, makeup sex offered that way, I don't think is very healthy. But makeup sex, in itself, as long as everybody's on the same page and everybody is in it for, yes, we are making up, yes, we are coming back together, yes, we are making that connection, then yeah, I think it's a good thing.
I like it. So we're going to slide into our next little segment, a part of the book about repair and recovery after fights.
Okay.
That was kind of my lead in with that last question. So Easton and Hardy argue that repair rituals are as important as safe sex practices. They keep relationships healthy and sustainable. They suggest that apologies that acknowledge harm, not like, sorry you feel that way, but I see how my action could hurt you. The after care beyond kink. Hugs, laughter, quality time, sexual intimacy, whatever helps restore the emotional connection that you have with your partner or partners. Yeah. And then follow-up talks. This is, for me, this is what that is. We get to come on here and, like, we lay it all out. Yeah. Whatever we're having, whatever, you know, we spend time working on what we're going to talk about and how we're going to tie in the book and how we can help. But sometimes repair isn't instant. The book recommends circling back when emotions settle, which is, like we've said, taking a break, stepping back before we say something we don't mean, or because, you know, we're on it, we're about to fire off.
Well, and we could recognize when we get into those destructive areas, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, and that took us some time, like,
yeah,
and it's not going to come easy for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to find a way to make that work, you know? We don't want the fight becoming... We want it to be a source of learning, not just, like, a wound left open, because it's going to come back. You're going to crack it again. It's not going to come back as strong if you don't take care of yourself, kind of thing.
Right.
They also remind us that conflict doesn't break relationships. The lack of repair does. I want to say that again, because, like, we're always saying talk and listen and actively listen and all this. Conflict doesn't break relationships. Lack of repair does.
Yeah.
So
now, when you say repair, I want to circle back to that Band-Aid thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for a long time, the way that you and I handled conflict was to kind of brush it under the rug. You know, we have these things that are bothering us, but hey, we can overlook them, right? Yeah, we're mad right now, but let's just forget about it and move on. That is a Band-Aid. Right. That is, it's not even really a Band-Aid. That's putting a little bit of super glue on it and hoping it holds. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
You have to be willing to talk about this stuff. Like you just mentioned, you come back to it and you actually discuss what just happened.
Haley.
She wants to be a guest so bad right now.
She's like, let me put my two cents in on this.
But yeah, I mean, you have to talk about this stuff. You have to be able to handle it. And I think that you and I have come to a place now where we can, right? You know,
there's still bumps in the road. There's still times where,
of course,
and that's normal though. That's what we're trying to normalize, is there's going to be disagreements or arguments or whatever,
right?
In a healthy relationship, whether it be romantic, sexual, or friends.
Yeah.
It's not always hunky dory, because if it is, you're giving up parts of yourself.
Yeah.
So I kind of like thinking of the repair part, because remember, guys, I'm like, Cody's a super intellectual guy and I'm breaking it down for the dummies. Repair is kind of like glue. So like apologizing, clarifying, and affirming care restores your connection, not the Band-Aid solutions.
Right.
Also accountability. Owning your role without excuses builds trusts.
Owning your role without excuses and genuinely meaning it, right?
Yes.
That's a big one.
Because even a small, you're right, I really snapped at you, or I like recognizing the fact that you weren't in a spot of actively listening, but you were in defense mode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a small, you're right, can turn into growth. It can turn that conversation around.
Yeah.
Cody's, I feel like I'm talking more this time than normal, and I like it. So the book the way we tied the book in with this is chapter 6 is about communication and chapter 7 is about honesty. The book highlights accountability as a cornerstone of ethical relating. Messy emotions are natural, but ethical lovers show up after the storm, not just during it. Yeah. I'm telling you guys, reading this book is just, it's great. It really is. If you're new into poly, or not even poly, new into like lifestyle, being ethically non-monogamous, we've said it before, it's the closest thing is to a manual, I guess, if you will, that you can find in here. So sometimes it's a little boring, because there are parts of it that are just like, you want to skim past or you want to rush through, but like taking the time to sit and really read that and with yourself, kind of try to understand what the book is trying to say or whatever.
Yeah.
It opens your mind when you take, it opens your minds up.
Gives you some really, really good pointers on how to handle everyday life.
Like, yes.
Not even just sexually, not even just romantically, but everyday life, you know, and that's something we could all use. You know, we could all use some tips, some assistance, some help. And I think that any way that we can find that is good.
So, Cody.
Yes.
We're going to talk about unhealthy fighting. Not like because you've done anything or I've done anything. Just, I think that's where we're going to lead into here.
Okay.
Manipulation, name calling, scoring points, trying to win. Again, is that a healthy thing for somebody to be doing?
No, of course not. And, you know, for me, I hate name calling. I hate it. I hate it a lot, because it shows that you don't value your person as much as you thought you did.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you don't value your person as much as they thought you did.
You should not. I love to call you my idiot, though. I say that with love.
That's yeah.
But I know what you mean.
If you're doing it out of malice, and if you are able to call that person something degrading, something demeaning out of a place of malice, you need to have an honest conversation with yourself. I cannot ever imagine looking at this woman and calling her anything other than my wife, my love,
well, that's because like that. You would be attacking my identity instead of addressing behavior.
Exactly.
That cuts deeper and longer to me,
right?
You know?
If we were in a place where I could do that, though, it would be time for us to have a conversation of, do we need to continue this? Because if you don't value your person enough to not attack their identity, you shouldn't be with them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That is extremely toxic behavior, the name calling, and, you know, even using like past experiences to cut or to keep driving your point home. You know, that's
like twisting words. I mean, almost gaslighting.
What I mean by this is like if you've had an argument over something, you've had a conflict over something, you've had a fight, and you come to an agreement that you're good with it, everything's fine, don't worry about it. you go down the road and something else happens and you bring it back up just to try to drive a point home, that's not good. And I am guilty of that myself. I know that one that I was talking about with us on the cruise ship, I said I was fine with something. I said, you know, we're not going to talk about it anymore. And then I let it eat at me and I brought it back up. That's extremely, extremely unhealthy. If you say that you're good with something, if you say that you forgive somebody for something, if you tell them that the argument is over, it needs to be over. It doesn't need to come up 6 months down the road, a year down the road, unless it's a repeat behavior. If it's a repeat behavior, then yes, of course, you've got to talk about some stuff. But if the two aren't related, why are we bringing it up, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, why are we using it as ammo to hurt one another?
We shouldn't want to attack each other with ammo. I want to attack you with, you know, different sexual implements and things like that. I don't want to attack you with ammo. You know what I mean?
Yes. Sorry, I'm like blanked out. I'm starting to get a headache. It's been a long day.
The guess that she just had was like, well, that's shut down for the day.
It's been a long day. We've been go, go, go. Or I've been go, go, go all day today. So I want to move us into, like, you know, I said in chapter four, the contracts and agreements or whatever. Mm-hmm. Agreements are like living documents. Okay.
Yeah.
So fighting over them can be healthy if the goal is to adjust and evolve from them. Fighting with them, though, it freezes growth and sets up power struggles.
Yeah. I mean, you can't come at somebody, well, on this date, you decided mm-hmm. we were going to do this, and this was the only way we were going to do things, and blah, 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 blah. You can't do that. People aren't going to want to deal with you if you do that, right?
Correct.
I'm not going to want to have anything to do with you if you're going to take an agreement that we made and say, well, this is what you said. This is what you said. This is how it has mm-hmm. to be. No, let's discuss it. Let's talk about it, right?
Yes, yes. And the book mentions about, like, fighting about rules versus fighting with rules. So fighting about them, it's like that you're winning thing. Like, okay. You're going after it. You're scoring points that you're going to win that fight no matter what.
Yeah.
Fighting with the rules, it uses agreements as shields or weapons. So you broke the rule, I get to punish you. It creates hierarchy instead of mutual respect for one of another.
Yeah. So I'm confused by what you just said, though.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Right.
Listen. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So you said fighting about the rules is unhealthy.
It happens when agreements feel unclear, too rigid, or outdated.
So that is...
So it's the structure, I guess. The structure of the fight.
That is healthy, though. You do need to yes, discuss
I'm
that.
Sorry.
And you do need to have possible conflict over that, and that's fine. Now, you said fighting with the rules, using them as weapons.
Yes.
That is no good.
Correct.
Right.
Well, see, here's the intellectual part that I keep him around for.
Well, no, I was confused. You know, I wanted to make sure I was understanding what you were trying to talk about.
Sure.
Because it's
taking a Tylenol. I'm sorry, I have headache.
We have to be very intentional with what we're saying at all times. You know, and that's the nature of the world that we live in today. We have to say what we mean when we say it, right? So I just wanted to make sure that I was being clear with what you were meaning in that instance.
Yes. I'm sorry. Thank you for catching that. Thank you for stopping and making it a point, because it did. I felt like it was a little bit my brain. I've got squirrels. They're all driving my train tracks.
I think that your brain sometimes outruns itself. Right?
I mean, probably.
Because, like, I could see you had a thought, and I could see you going through the thought before you ever started talking about it. And then I could see the thought leave right as you started talking about it.
I hate when the thought just leaves, damn it. I know. I hate it. I want to blame it on so many things, but I just don't have any. It's the squirrels.
It's the squirrels.
It's the squirrels.
That's okay. That's okay.
So, conflict over a rule, okay? Can you share a time when a rule that you set sparked tension? So, for example, maybe no sleepovers or only play with certain people.
I don't think we've ever really had a rule like that.
I mean, just examples.
I'm trying to think one. I can't think of one that we have implemented where it sparked tension as soon as it was implemented. Mm-hmm. I can think of one that sparked tension after it was implemented. And that was because I don't think it was understood as a rule whenever it was laid out. And then because there wasn't that clear communication, that got broken. And then there was a little bit of tension. And then we found out that we were okay with it, right? So things like that are bound to happen. If you don't communicate your expectations and your rules clearly, you're going to have conflict.
And I think you have to be able to tweak them. Like talking about compromise again.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we've said that, you know, your ground rules, quote unquote, are going to be a living document for forever. You know, they're agreements. Because we said last episode, rules don't really work. Mm-mm. You know.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I was gonna. My next. See, I don't know if you could see that thought coming. it was the rules where it was less about like safety and more about control, being in control. The realization between the two, how do you approach that conflict?
The one that I'm thinking about, it was more about like a possessiveness, right? And really, neither one of us possessed the other one. You know, I say I am yours and you say you are mine.
Yes.
But really, we don't possess each other. You know what I mean? So we don't have the right to be possessive with rules like that. We do have the right to be possessive in terms of, you know, you are my wife.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be your husband.
Yeah.
Right? First and foremost, before anything else. But as far as setting rules where, you know, hey, I'm not comfortable with that because I want to do that. Right? That's not a good thing, you know?
Oh, okay. Now I know where we're going. I was like, I'm trying to think of like anything we've talked about recently. And I'm like, what is he?
She's like looking around the room and.
You know, sometimes I can look at something and it sparks the idea.
Yeah.
I've been trying to catch up to where your brain was going. Cause I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about, but
it's
I'm
not
here
something
for it.
I just outright want to come out and say,
well, no, I totally
podcast,
get it.
You know, it is a rule that wasn't understood as a rule.
Yeah.
And you know, I think now you know exactly what I was talking about.
Yes, I do. That's why I caught there. I got it.
But that was because, you know, I was being possessive. But that's not fair to you because you want to go and have these experiences. And for me to say I'm the only one that gets to do that, that's me possessing you. And I don't know that I'm down for that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I am possessive in the sense that you are my wife,
mm-hmm.
and that will always be true first and foremost before anything, right? You come first above everything else. That is where the possessiveness ends, though, because you are not a possession to be had, right? Just as I am not a possession to be had. You know, I'm your husband, but I am not something that you can possess. I am your love forever, but I am not a thing, right?
Correct. You are not, yeah, you are not a possession. I can't own you.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but like in the fun ways.
That's just because you've got my balls in your purse.
14 years, man. Going strong. So, Cody, take. Yep. I need a drink. You go talk for a second.
Sorry,
I'm thirsty.
I know that I had mentioned a couple episodes ago about possibly starting a political podcast. I'm still mulling that over. I do have the first two episodes built. I've got an outline for it built. I've got all the stuff ready. But as everyone listening to this podcast probably knows, the political climate in the United States is fucking crazy right now. While I do think it would be a time to put my view out there and to make people in Oklahoma understand that they're not alone if they share my views, I think that it could also be dangerous for me to put my view out there, especially living in the powder keg that we do right now.
Yeah.
So I've got to do some serious talking with Heather. I've got to decide, is this something that we pursue or is this something that I just kind of let fall by? How dangerous really is this? And I think that the coming weeks will show us that. So
yeah. I mean, it's a scary place right now.
Yeah. So right now it's on the back burner. And I mean, you know, a lot of people are going to think we're being dramatic with that. I've had death threats on my TikTok.
Jeez.
Numerous times. And with what we saw the other day, and then everything that we've seen afterwards, it's those threats are starting to get a lot more believable, you know. And I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to protect my family and then myself. And part of that is going to be knowing when to not do something, right? And I think that right now may not be the right time to pursue this. Haley is. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeez, he was doing it on purpose.
I didn't mean to disturb.
I didn't mean to disturb you.
I'm sorry.
Hey, she's playing a game. She's saving this little guy from.
I'm saving the forest from darkness.
Don't land on the spikes.
I'm gonna laugh when she hits you.
I know she's gonna
I heard your a couple times already. So we're very we are very much kinds of people that like we like sharing space. Mm-hmm. Cody's over in his chair, I'm over in my comfy recliner. Haley wasn't technically like a guest person here, but we still wanted her back here. She still wanted to be back here, so she's playing her cute little game while we talk about conflict and listening to her funny scoffs at some things, or that's what's happening in the background.
Watching her get frustrated because she keeps landing on the spikes, even though I've told her numerous times that she's not supposed to.
She's gonna beat you up, and I'm just gonna watch.
I might like it.
You will like it. I mean, you literally have a shirt that says "Bully me, and I'll come." Like, okay. So thanks for. Sorry, I had to take a drink. And
are you good?
Thanks for having my back and covering that for me.
I didn't mean to have the weird interjection, you know. And I stand by. We're not going to talk about the events that led up to that, but I do want everybody to know that it's not something that I just want to leave you on a cliffhanger about. It is something that we are considering, but we have to do a lot of considering before we decide to do something like that. So that's where we're at with that.
So I want to hear another question for our listeners, but also just to share something that we do. You know, the book talks about coming back and checking in with your partner. I know one thing that we do every day, every night before we go to sleep, whether you're on night shift or day shift, I am yours, you are mine, we are forever.
Yeah.
Even when I had previously been in a second relationship, no matter what, like, that was what happened. So we might spend the night together. Like, I might be spending the night somewhere else, but yeah.
But
you have to find your people that...
I didn't know how important that was to me.
Yeah.
There was one night where you had gone out, and it was a long night.
I think
night.
I passed out. Yeah, I passed out drunk. And
but I didn't get that video.
Yeah.
And I was in such a bad place by the next morning, and it was just because that video didn't come in, right? And I didn't know how much I relied on that as like an antidepressant, right? Like seeing you say those words, like
it just reaffirms,
it can feel like routine, but at the end of the day, like we both need it. You know what I mean? It's something that we have to have. And you've done the same to me before, like where, you know, I'll be busy at work or something like that, and I'll say, "Hey, good night. Love you." You know, like, cause I know you're going to bed.
Yeah.
And you'll call me out. Like, "Where's my video?" Like, yep. "Okay, let me record one real quick." You know?
And that's, I mean, yeah, especially when you are busy. It's literally those words and we're done.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, I guess, a ritual that we do that, you know, like we encourage you to find your thing.
And we do that even if we are in conflict, right? Even every if night. We are having some sort of conflict. She mentioned earlier that we never go to bed angry, and we don't. We've made it a point not to, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, this is one thing, and we're about to go into a little update about Heather in the dating app world and you and your couple of people. sorry, that tickled me, really. Oh, I'm losing it.
Trains off the tracks.
I don't know. It's also important that, like, your play partners or your other relationships, they see the importance of that too, and they respect it. Because if you're not going to respect me and my husband, you know, like, what am I doing here?
I think that's where I was that one night, because you had gone and passed out, but you were also with somebody else. And not getting that was like, oh, shit, you know, well, maybe she didn't do it because he was there. And, well, does he not respect what we have? Does he not want her to do that? And, yeah, nope. It was.
I just passed out.
It was a spiral, for sure. And, you know, that's the unfortunate side effect of depression and anxiety, is you do get on those spirals. And
anxiety's a bitch.
Yeah, even though you're on the medicine and all that stuff, it can still manifest and take you down a pretty crazy ride, and you'll start thinking all sorts of illogical shit, and before you know it, the world's ending. So
yep. And granted, I accidentally turned like friends into relationships. It just spins that way pretty easy. But anybody that I've had like put that importance on, I guess, on that relationship, they might ask me about it, being like, "So why do you, you know, like, what is that about?" or whatever. And I'm like, it just helps us connect when we're not together. It mm-hmm. helps us reaffirm that we love each other and that we're in this together. And like after explaining it, like I've never had anybody be like, ew, why are you doing that? You're with me. Like, no, I wouldn't be with that person. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't have been, that I wouldn't would have be, shared that spot.
And I know that about you.
Yeah.
That's something where if that had happened, you would make the call right then. Well, this doesn't need to be a thing, right?
Yeah.
Because you and I, for each other, come first.
Yes. And I'm trying to get better at not just being like, you know what? F you. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
This is what's happening. I have to remind myself that too, that I don't know. There it's gone. It's gone. Oh my God. It's time for bed. It's been a long day. A good day.
Yeah, it's been a good day.
And look at me learning a transition right here. Why has it been a good day, Heather? Oh, because I got to go have some fun with new people.
Segway.
And that was a perfect little transition. I'm getting better at it. But yes, I am. I had recently been in another relationship after the one we talked about in season one. I struggled with, I'm not going to lie. I'll admit it on here that I still struggle with some of the thoughts because it did not end in a way that was bad. Like the clown, cheating, lying, manipulation, gaslight. I mean, there were all these things. So mm-hmm. like out of my head, good, you know, but life has gotten in the way and that's kind of what has separated. And that part, I've told you, Haley hears a lot more. I've really struggled with, do I hold space for this person?
Mm-hmm.
Do I move on? What do I do? It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard knowing that it was the right person, wrong time. Because who knows if that will ever come back around. And if it doesn't, great. We had it was good while it was good. But I'm back out. Again, segueing into that. I finally found a place where, yes, I might have days where that I question that. Or like, I might even feel bad about going on a date or whatever. But why? Like, we mutually agree that this was not a healthy time for either one of us.
Because you're still holding space.
I'm trying. Right? I don't know how to get past that. So there's my struggle, guys.
You have to mean it, right? And I don't think you've meant it yet. You've told me several times that, you know, it's done. It's over. It's done. That's never coming back. It's not happening. The door's closed. And then you'll tell me again 3 weeks later, it's over, it's done, it's not going to happen. And you're still holding space. And that's fine. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but if you want to move past it, you have to mean it.
Well, here we go. TED Talk, therapist, I know I need one, but like, wait, I have one, you know, just kidding. That was a joke, guys. But, I mean, it's tough. She makes a lot of noise.
She's making a lot of noise.
It will. And he will be like, look, he'll find a timestamp.
Did you listen to the last episode that came up?
No, she doesn't listen to us.
She sent me text messages about one of them, so I know she was listening. Did you listen to the last one, Haley? You don't know? Because that goddamn clicking was half of the episode. Just click, 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 click. We're going to put your hands in mittens next time so you cannot press buttons. I'm going to put your hands in mittens.
You can put your hands on my boobs.
Actually, I'm going to tie you up next episode.
No, you're not. I bet I could tie her up.
Can we?
Okay, so back to it. It's been, what, like two and a half, three weeks that mm-hmm. I've been back out there?
Yeah.
Started on Tinder. So I'll talk my Tinder, you talk your Tinder.
Okay.
Now,
before we do that, I had a lot better luck on Tinder this time.
Oh, happy. Okay.
Like, nothing came from it, but I had better luck. So, you talk your Tinder. I'll say a bit about mine, but then I want to go into a couple of the other apps.
Well, me too. There's three apps that we're going to talk about briefly, because we can expand these as we go on. And like, but quickly, not quickly. Are we good on time? Are we at like... We talk so much. Okay, so maybe this time is just Tinder, and then I'll make a note that we need to talk about.
You just talk about yours, and we'll
no,
we'll
because I've
later.
Talked a lot this episode, and
and that's okay.
No, it's not.
People don't tune into this to listen to me talk.
You are so right? full of crap.
They want to listen to you and your beautiful angelic
Says
voice.
Says the man with 80,000.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about how you said you sweetly serenade us in one of the podcasts. You don't sweetly serenade us.
No, you're awful and mean.
Yeah.
When did I ever say that I sweetly serenaded you? I said that my voice was smooth and creamy like butter, but I never said that I sweetly serenade you.
He's full of himself, huh? I know, girl. So anywho, back at Tinder. Got back onto it. That's where I had actually found my last relationship that lasted, I mean, that I was in, that I'm still...
You still fucked up over.
No, it's not that. It's just... anyway, so...
The fact that you can't put words to it, clarifies that
I can't put words to lots of things. Shut up. I can't put words to lots of things. Squirrels, that's what I'm saying. But so I'm back on it. That's why I decided to do Tinder, is because I've had luck with it in the past. Lord have mercy. The amount of wiener pics is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even hi. It was, here's my wiener.
Yeah.
I've decided to fight cocks with cocks. So if I get those, I get onto Google, I find a PP that is full of some kind of STD, or it's falling off, or they're scabby. I mean, like, and I sent it back. And then they're like, what the fuck? I didn't want to see that. Huh, that's funny. I didn't want to see yours. And then I unmatch.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's petty Betty, but God, not everybody wants to see your wiener.
Don't we have one friend that will dress them up in like little outfits and stuff like that?
Yes.
And then send it back?
Yes. Yeah. I think you've done that for like Cinco de Mayo or whatever. Put like a little sombrero on it.
I've done it with mine, yeah.
But not to send out to I mean, like, it was to people that enjoy and know.
There's one friend we have that will get those, and then she will dress it up in like a little dress and put a hat on it and stuff like that, and then send it back to them just to show them the little princess that they are.
Yes.
Because guys, I've said it before, if you are sending unsolicited dick pics, you're a piece of shit. Stop fucking doing that. Okay. No one just...
Listen, and for right now on this specific app, it is the... I'm 36 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the 40 and 50-year-olds that are like, oh, here's my wiener.
Yeah.
I get more respect from a 27-year-old than
because
a 48-year-old.
The 40 and 50-year-olds think that you are there for one reason, and they think that you owe them yourself, right?
You're probably right.
And guys, no one owes you shit, right? No woman owes you her body. No woman wants to see your dick right out the gate.
Not
Stop
right out the gate.
Stop fucking doing that. It's so goddamn weird. Stop it.
I just don't understand it.
Imagine doing that in public. Like, you just walk
whipping
up.
Whipping it out.
You walk up on a
you
first date.
You would get arrested.
And just, yeah, you'd be hauled off to jail.
Yeah,
so quit
awful.
Being fucking dumb, guys. Stop being fucking stupid.
And I'm not saying that girls aren't stupid, but I will...
But it's overwhelmingly these douchebags that are just out flopping their dick out for
but
everybody.
But that was my biggest, like, when I, like, started looking at all the ages that I was getting them from.
Mm-hmm.
First off, there's been, like, a 26, 27, and 28-year-old that has shown some interest. But they have been so freaking respectful. Like, I'm like, well, no, these are little babies, so I can't really put that in my head. Which is not a thing, it's just my brain. But I had a... And... Let's talk about, I guess I just quit growing in my head about like mid-20s, maybe early 30s, because 36 isn't that far from 46.
Yeah.
But when I'm talking about it, I'll be like, Haley, he's so old. Like, so I know that's just a silly, probably Heatherism, but like,
yeah,
it just.
Because in your head, you're permanently 23. You're pretty close. 23
I would say
to
like 28.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to say max 27, but it's 23 to 25. I
like you do like him old. You do like him old. Oh, she's the grandpa chaser, and I guess I'm the...
I am not a grandpa, all right? Remember what we talked about a while ago about fighting to win and cutting with your words? That's what you just fucking did. I am hurt. Haley.
Older.
Yeah, you're older than her.
Well, yeah. Doesn't mean I'm a grandpa.
Okay, so in addition, I also, like, a part of this segment, I don't know if you've been keeping, but I've sent, like, I'll screenshot some of this crap, and I'll be like, the audacity of this man to say that to me. So I'll give you a couple of funny ones from Tinder here in a minute, but I didn't find a lot of luck on Tinder this time. Yeah. I will say we got more followers for our podcast than I got. I can't even tell you that I got more wieners. I think I got more wieners than I actually got more listeners. But still, yeah. It was like, oh my God, this is a thing. I thought I was the only person that did it. So, and like, they're not like friendships like Haley and I or whatever, but they'll randomly text me at the middle of the night and be like, hey, what are your thoughts about da-da-da? And I think that's so cool because they're not even people I've met in real life.
Yeah.
But there was one girl that was like, you make me feel seen. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she was like, your whole podcast, like, they're just starting out in their journey. Yeah. And she was like, but you say some things that really validate, like, where I'm at. And I think that is so cool. I love that we're...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, I love being able to educate. And we're just literally oversharing way too much about ourselves. Yeah. You know, like, okay, so it's been good. Had lots of matches, of course. But, like, this time, the last time I was on Tinder, you got to see, like, some of the who likes yous. Like, you didn't have to pay. And they've upped it to, like, $39 mm-hmm. for a freaking week. Like, no.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No, I am not. I have enough friends that are safe play partners. I am not going to pay $40 for some jackass to send me a nasty ass dick pic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sorry, that's, I'm telling you.
You are beating the shit out of that chair over there.
Because I'm pretending it's every penis that has come through my inbox. Seriously, guys, stop it. And this is one thing that I have talked to a couple people. I like videos, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of that, of you finishing, of the sounds.
If they are asked
for. Yes! Or yes. There's somebody that, like, I have slept with. And we are, you know, like, I've got a special little feller, bossy boy, out towards Arkansas. And I like when he sends me that stuff. But we've already had that.
I'll put it this way. You and I have been married for 14 years. Mm-hmm. Or together for 14, married for 12, yeah. Right? I will still ask you if you want a video like that.
Yeah.
Every fucking time, I will ask you, do you want to see this? Guys, consent is everything. And if you're just randomly sending this shit, that is not getting consent. Stop being fucking dumb.
I want to know. Literally. I want to know. How is that? Has that worked for you? Has it really? Has your dick pic started a wonderful relationship? No. You probably got blocked. Or if you find me, you're getting a cock sit back and it's going to be ugly and scary. And
there might be, no.
Well, okay. I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum.
Devil's advocate. There might be people out there, women out there that like getting that stuff. There might be women out there that'll send stuff right back. That's fine.
Yes.
More often than not, though, you will not get what you want out of that.
No.
100% of the time, that is initiating sexual contact without consent. That is sexual assault. By sending unsolicited dick pics, you are committing sexual assault. Fucking stop it. It's fucking weird. Stop.
It's so weird. I just, like, I feel like I have a nice set of hoo-hoos, you know, up here.
Yeah.
But I'm not... I mean, granted, I know boys are different, too, so they'd probably like that a little bit more. But it's the same concept. Well, like,
no, we can't fall into that trap, though. Like, yes, we know guys like boobs, right? Mm-hmm. Sexual assault is sexual assault.
Yes, you're right.
You have to have consent before you do stuff like that. And this is for everybody. You have to have consent. It's gross the amount of times that I hear from women that they have received all of these unsolicited dick pics in their inbox. Like... I joked about it a while ago, but think about if you did that in real life. Think about the kind of person you would be if you did that just in your life. You walk into a diner, you open your trench coat, you flash your dick for everybody.
Like, why?
Chances are, if there's a dad in there that's carrying a gun, you're getting fucking shot, right? So, why? Why do this on the internet when you would never fucking do it in real life? Right?
Yeah.
I
know.
It is 100% sexual assault. Like, without question, legally, it is 100% sexual assault. So stop fucking doing this shit, guys.
I'm not a prude. I mean, like, if this podcast is anything, granted, Cody's more of a hoe, really, than I am. But, like, we're here together. We're discussing different things that we're enjoying outside of one another.
Yeah.
Like, I just... God, just stop.
So let's get into...
Hold on.
Well, hang on. Next episode, let's get into some of the messages and stuff that you've got. We're at an hour right now, so we're running a little bit short on time. But next episode, we will get into some of the messages and stuff that she's got. And I think now that she is back on these apps, I think that you're going to have a lot of entertainment and possibly just a new segment that we can do where weekly we just kind of expose some of these weirdos.
We're not going to be dicks. We're not going to say a name. But, like, if you have a small penis and you've sent me a picture, I'm going to call you a small penis little man on the podcast.
Yeah.
You're putting it out there.
You are committing assault. Expect to be assaulted back. Right?
Yeah.
I want to break from this for just a second, and I want to say a few things. I had a family member reach out and say that I was apparently brainwashed and in a cult. I've had multiple family members tell me that, you know, this is not the way that I was raised. Not because of our lifestyle, but because I am a left-leaning person. Now, here's the thing. I believe what I have always believed, and now that has become liberal ideology, right? You can believe what you want to believe, and I will respect that. I don't know that I'll think that it's right, but I'll respect it, right? That's your right as an American citizen. Believe what you want to believe. Don't you fucking dare insult my goddamn intelligence for me believing what I want to believe. Because I look at things objectively. I look at things as I can see them. I look at things as the information is presented to me, and that is what has led me to believe the things that I believe. Don't you fucking dare insult my intelligence by calling me brainwashed, by calling me a sheep, by assuming I have done anything but look at every fucking issue that I am willing to talk about, because let me tell you, I have researched every fucking issue that I am willing to talk about. I mentioned a while ago about debate. I am a strong believer in debate. Before I ever initiate a debate, I will have enough ammunition in my arsenal to quote-unquote win that debate. Because though I want a debate to be you understanding my side or me understanding your side, I know that today debates are about winning, right? So I'm going to come at you with, I'm going to be prepared. So if I'm opening myself up to that by talking about this stuff on a international stage, I'm going to be researched and prepared about it. Don't you fucking dare insult my intelligence by saying that shit.
Family, friends, or not. Like, exactly. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I believe what I believe for a reason. You believe what you believe for a reason, and that's fine. Your reasons are yours. I'm not going to insult you for believing that, right?
Again, now, if that's attacking somebody's character, exactly. And that's not what we're doing.
You've seen my TikToks where I will insult people for believing that. Those people that I'm insulting are callous. They are rude. They're mean. They're people that want to tear other people down for believing differently. Those are the people that I am attacking. So if you are one of those people that do attack other people for believing differently than you, I am attacking you right now. I am telling you that you are a piece of shit. I am telling you that you are in a fucking cult. And I am telling you that you are below worthy of a conversation. Because you're not worth the time. Mm-mm. Don't you fucking dare insult my intelligence for believing differently than you do. That is the sign of a cult. That is the sign of fascism. That is the sign of authoritarianism. And America is not that. We are allowed to have different beliefs, and that is what makes this country fucking great already. Yes. Don't you fucking dare insult my intelligence.
Hot buttons touch there. Got it.
And I had to address that because though I will not talk about the rest of the shit that is going on in this country on this podcast, I won't. I might start another one where I do discuss it, and that will be my choice. I will, however, address that I will not be bullied into believing something just because everyone in my state wants me to fucking believe it. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's fucking asinine, and I will not be put into that fucking box. So, there we go.
There we go. So we're going to do our closing takeaway. I'll come back next time with some fun Tinder stories.
I like it. I've got a lot of stories of, not a lot of stories, but a lot of insights on some different apps as well. I tried, I think, four of them. So we have some insight on different things.
I mean, it might turn into a full segment because, anyways, I'll get going on that. We'll talk about it. We'll start that. We'll let that be our startup next time because I know everybody's going to be like, what do they think about this? I just know it.
I like it.
So we're going to end it as a reminder about the book, what we're talking about. The Ethical Slut shows us honesty, compassion, and self-awareness are the difference between toxic cycles and healthy conflict. Fighting is inevitable. Growth is optional. Let me say that again, because that one was monumental when I read it. Fighting is inevitable. Growth is optional.
Yeah.
If you're fighting to win, you're not growing. If you're debating and you're right and there's no other way and blah, 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 you're not growing. And healthy fighting equals boundaries plus repair plus laughter. I mean, it's important. Healthy fighting is going to happen if you cherish your person.
Yeah.
Friendship, sexually, romantically, blah, blah, blah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a sign of a healthy relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get on a whole little tangent. So I'm good if you're good.
All right, good. You got anything else that you want to leave them with? I know you had your little bit last week. I was wondering if you wanted to leave them something similar.
Don't send wiener pics.
There you go.
Please.
All right, guys. I know that the things got a little bit tense at the end of this episode. They're not all going to be like that. I think if you've listened to us thus far, you know that they're rarely ever like that. But sometimes you just got to get some things off your chest. I still love all of you. Know that. And until next time, remember, love yourself because we love you. Okay, thanks. Bye.